It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, and have something to drink. Make sure you're hydrated here this morning on Cabali and Matt. Where? Cabali's gone. Where did he go? He was just here a second ago, and then all of a sudden, poof, he disappears. Kaboom was too busy fiddling around with the backgrounds on his virtual Zoom meeting thing. And then all of a sudden, poof, gone. He was just, there was nothing we could do.
What's going on? He was just gone.
What are you doing? Did you hit the wrong button? You hit the wrong button. Just admit it.
Hold on.
What? We spend valuable time every show with you screwing around with your background.
Well, I've got my background. I can't even log in now. I don't know what happened to my StreamYard.
You're logged in. You're here. We can see you.
Hold on.
You look great. All right. Thanks, first of all, while Cabali figures out his StreamYard Zoom virtual background deal, to the Dan Heck team. Presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mack. He's gone again. What the hell is going on? HeckTeamHomes.com. HAECK. HeckTeamHomes.com. Stop pushing buttons, okay?
You know what? I was somehow logged out and everything was gone. I think I'm back.
You're back.
This is why people watch the show.
What? They watch the show to see you struggle with technology?
Oh, you know, it's back, though.
What?
It's back, baby.
The dry, wet, dry background. You're excited about this.
Shoot, now it's backwards.
No, it's not. You're good. You're good. You're fine. You're fine. It looks good to the rest of us. It looks fine to the rest of us. Maybe it looks backwards to you. It looks good to us, okay? Don't touch any more buttons, okay? Can you just keep your hands away from the keyboard, please? Welcome into Cabali and Mack again. Presented by HeckTeamHomes.com. Looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They will take care of you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the entire team ready to help you find the perfect home or maybe just transition from one home to another. Who knows what it is? They'll help you out. Go to Heck Team Homes, HAECK. It's right there on your screen. You're watching the show on YouTube and we appreciate it. Or on X or on Facebook or Instagram, wherever. HeckTeamHomes.com is where you go. Have you got everything under control now? Cleaning the glasses off now?
I do have an announcement to make.
What?
My neighbor right next to me selling his house. So if you want to come move in and be my neighbor, this is the best opportunity to do it.
This is a very new neighborhood. Why are they moving out already?
I have no idea.
Do you not know them at all,
maybe
really?
It might be.
They see people coming and going all hours of the night, dropping off just cartons of dude wipes. You going out to get a new fancy drive-through plastic cup every morning to drink out of.
No, it's not every morning.
No? How often do you replace that? I've bitched about this before. I'm not really bitching about it. I just think it's funny that you go out and get a new cup from like Sheetz or Get Go or Dunkin' almost every day, every three days.
Sheetz. My kids are obsessed with Sheetz. So where else can you get like a Coke Zero for $1.07? Mm-hmm. So I fill it up. And when you're done with that, you just reuse it for a day or two until you go back.
What do you fill it up with the rest of the day? More pop, water, what?
Water, and I added a lemon, which I'm not a big fan of the lemon in the water.
Health nut. Mark Cabali adding a little spritz of lemon to the water. Yeah, look at you.
There's like floaties in there now.
Okay. That floaters.
So we'll use it until I get back to Sheetz.
Okay.
And I'll refill it and use a cup. I am very environmentally friendly here.
I can tell. It's very important to you. Environmental safety is your passion. I know. So you use a plastic cup. Everyone else in your house, kind of like my house, just uses giant Stanley water jugs, right? Like my wife carries one around that's the size of a 55-gallon drum, I swear to Christ.
Yeah. Well, what did we do like 30 years ago? I mean,
we drank out of a hose.
There wasn't even bottled water. I mean, there was no such thing as bottled water.
No, people thought you were weird if you drank bottled water 25, 30 years ago.
you used to go to the spigot.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. The old man story time, as it may be, when we were kids, there was nothing better than running around playing all day, and it got hot out, and then you just run over and you turn the hose on. But don't drink out of it at first, because the water's going to be boiling hot from sitting in the hose in the sun. You got to let it run for a couple minutes and get nice and cold. Then you drink out of it.
Yeah, a lot of things has changed. When I played football in high school, if you took a break or a water break, you were considered weak.
Yeah, no, you'd get crushed.
Plus, absolutely crushed. We used to have like coolers just full of water, and there would be like bugs and grass clippings in it. But you know, you didn't care.
The ice packs.
I'm dying here.
Whatever liquid you could get. The ice packs, I remember that the trainer would have, were just little paper Gatorade cups filled up with frozen water. Those were the ice packs. If you got hurt during practice.
Yeah, so there's a new Stanley in the house, because the cheerleading team said you needed one without a straw in it, so it has to be self-contained. Okay, thanks. Like, you're not charging enough for the uniform as it is. Add me to a $40.
Do you got to do that thing where you take your daughter up to that cheerleading practice up at Gilhall Park every week?
It's going to happen here in the spring, I think.
Can I tell you, just don't park on the side of the road. Park in the parking lot.
Why? Somebody parks in front of your house.
No. It's not in front of my house. I don't care. You're trying to drive down Gilhall Road, and there's cars stacked up on both sides, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm driving through someone's back alley in Brookline, like where I'm watching to see if my mirrors are going to get clipped. And nobody's paying attention, and little kids are running everywhere. It's like, Jesus, why do we have this cheerleading camp with 600 little girls at a little tiny community park up the street when we've got a beautiful football stadium 15 minutes up the road? Sorry, rant over.
I think you answered your own question.
Football?
Yeah, apparently that's the only place they can have it, or one of the only places they can have it. And apparently there's also...
Are you blaming Bill Chirpak for this? I want to be real clear. Are you laying blame at the feet of the great Bill Chirpak?
Everything's done by the school board.
Yeah. Wow.
But apparently there's rolling pickups, so you're only supposed to show up at a certain time.
That doesn't happen. Everybody shows up at the same time because they want to be early, because they think they're going to beat everybody else, and then it's just a shit show. Anyway, welcome into Cavalli and Mac. We're done complaining about things going on in our neighborhood. Let's get to the things that people really care about, like Bergman, who wants to know, cut the BS. WTF is going on with Rodgers? Kaboom. He was here in Pittsburgh for 6 hours on Friday. 6 hours. I saw that was the big headline on social media Friday night while I was waiting in line to get a drink at the Jeremy Piven show, which I noticed you did not come to.
I wasn't invited like you.
Did you ask for tickets?
I'm not a moocher.
Actually, I am. It's not a mooch to ask for tickets. If somebody offers tickets, and then you reach back out and they say, okay, yeah, just let me know. I'll get you tickets.
Were you a little worried when you went up to the box office that they were going to say, I don't know who you are?
No, because
I went through your mind once.
I thought to myself, what do I do if there are no tickets? And then I was like, my wife and I are downtown. We'll go get something to eat at a nice restaurant, and that'll be that.
Swag there with the wife, thought you had tickets and he blew you off.
That would have been funny. It would have been funny had there been nothing there. It was a great show, by the way. That was the headline on Friday, 6 hours. But I told you on Friday when the news got out that he was meeting with them, I didn't think they'd let him leave town without a deal, but they did. They let him leave town without a deal, and now they just continue to circle in Aaron Rodgers' orbit, waiting for him to make a decision. Wait. I mean, do they have any kind of – we're 1 month. 1 month from tonight is the first round of the NFL draft. Do they have they given him any kind of timeline, you think?
I wouldn't think not. I mean, at this point, what does it matter? It does not matter. Maybe you'll argue with me on this one.
I will, but go ahead and make your point.
Why does it matter if the whole goal is to have him in the building by OTAs, and who knows if he would show up for that, but that's probably where you'd want him to show up, right? What is the difference? if he says no tomorrow or next week, you're not going out and finding somebody better than Mason Rudolph. Sorry, you looked at the free agency market right now.
Yeah, Jameis Winston just signed on Friday as well. What, 2 years in New York for? So like that, all that's left is Joe Flacco. Who are some of the other? Brissett signed somewhere. To your point, there's nothing left out.
Yeah, I'm about ready for the comments saying about Joe Milton. Where are they?
Milton. Yeah, there's a few Joe Milton fans in the chat every single day.
But now you can sit there and criticize the Steelers for not making a harder deadline beforehand, but that's past. That's in the past. Let's not even talk about that because it doesn't matter anymore. The thing right now is if he says no, you got your quarterback that Mason, who's shown he's pretty decent to good, could win some games here. And if he says yes, you come on in. But you'd want it done within May. I don't know why the hurry is now. It's either yes, I'm coming to play, or no, we're going with Mason Rudolph. I mean, why does it have to be tomorrow or the next day?
Because I would think it definitely affects what you do at the draft. I mean.
You think it does?
Yeah, I think it does. I think quarterback takes on a whole new sense of urgency. If you sign Aaron Rodgers tomorrow, next Tuesday, whatever, before the draft, Rodgers is your one, Rudolph's your two, and your three is what? Is Skylar Thompson, right? Nobody cares because if you get to a third quarterback, you're screwed anyway. But you've got your three quarterbacks in house then, and you can wait. You don't have to spend a draft pick on a quarterback this year. Whereas, and I've said this before, if Rodgers doesn't sign here, and they basically told Russ to go piss up a rope, it's Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, and nothing. It might as well be you or me. So I would think you do then have to go out and make sure you draft a quarterback just so you got a third one on the roster at least.
Well, you can at that point, you can go with a Gardner Minshew type of character. I just don't think there's anybody in the draft where you're within range of drafting that can come in and make an immediate impact. So, I mean, who you're drafting at 21 or 20, whatever they're drafting at.
I mean, you don't even have to draft the quarterback at 2021. You could look at it and say, maybe Jackson Dart's off the board. Maybe you don't like any of the quarterbacks that might be available at that point. You go, maybe we'll just take a quarterback late. But at the very least, it affects how you're going to do things in the draft. I think it does. And wow, the fact that you would go through the entire draft still not knowing what your quarterback situation is
still a month away.
It is.
We're still talking about a month.
Right.
So you would assume something would be done. I wouldn't guarantee it, but you would assume it. But I'm not really concerned about that at all. You could just fill somebody in with the number two. I mean, let's be honest. Jackson Dart's going to be gone at 20. So you're not going to get him. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a top 10 pick and he's going to be out of your range. So he's out of the question. So you might as well just sit there and wait. If you want to sit there and take a quarterback in the mid rounds, a third and a fourth younger one, and then take one next year early, then that could be a plan. But at this point, you let it roll. I think you let it roll. You probably have a good feeling. I mean, for them to move like they have on Aaron Rodgers, they must have a really doggone good feeling he's going to sign. But he's a wild card, so.
But he still hasn't, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know what he could be waiting for, other than, and I think it was Jeff Darlington that threw this theory out this morning. The theory that, hey, maybe you just sit around and wait. Somebody gets hurt this spring, this summer, and something better opens up.
I just find it funny that just becoming a possibility after Minnesota pulled out. It sounds like a made up plan to me. Who says there's anything, first of all, would come up? And second of all, who said anything would come up that would be even better than the situation they have there? I'm quite sure he went to Pittsburgh, visited for 6 hours or whatever it is, just to get a feel, the vibe, Mr. Vibe, Mr.
Right.
Ayahuasca or whatever the hell you call it. If he got that vibe from the organization, and trust me, Mike Tomlin's pretty good at creating that vibe.
I think this is another t-shirt we need to create if we can. I don't know.
Where's Relax Styles at? Get him on it.
Yeah, Mr. Ayahuasca, I think is what I want to see. They need to be tie-dyed, okay? and it needs to have Roger's face when he was at the ayahuasca retreat on there with the red paint all over his face.
I'm going to have to watch that.
And then just ayahuasca on the back with a number. I guess he would be number 8 if he signed here, probably, right? Like, he's not going to be number 12. And 8 on the back.
Yeah.
Relax Styles. Get on that, pal. He'll have it ready by this afternoon.
He's like, you know what's funny is, I mean, we're off base here, but he was messaging old Bad Napoleon at like 6 o'clock in the morning and was tagging me on it. Who knew that we would bring together Bad Napoleon and Relax Styles? Only in
that's what we do here on Kabbali and Mac. We bring people together. I still wonder, should we have Bad Napoleon on sometime?
You got 1.1 million Twitter followers. I mean, no, TikTok.
I mean,
maybe on a slow day we can ask him to come on. He is a Pittsburgh fan, so there's a little bit of.
We would require he stay in Bad Napoleon character the entire time, though, or would we let him go in and out of character?
Oh, is he playing a character?
I don't know. Maybe we have him on to find out. It's going to be that time of year soon. So
yeah, we're going to have some guests lined up here too. We'll see.
We do.
Oh, we're going to be all over the spectrum too.
Oh, all over the spectrum is a good way to put it.
Yes. You never know.
So once we get the Mr. Ayahuasca shirts made, like, I don't understand what could possibly be holding Rogers back at this point, I guess, is where I come around to. Hey, why not just sign the deal and get it done so that you have something secured if you're Aaron Rodgers and you know what your plan is for 2025, unless you're waiting to see if something else opens up. Like, that would be the only thing. And look, it's a scary place to crawl into Aaron Rodgers' brain. There's a lot going on in there. But if I were in there, that's what I would be thinking. Hey, let's get this done so I don't have to worry about this, that, the other thing. Let's get it done. Get acclimated to everybody there. And then we can move forward through the spring and the summer. And I know where I'm going to be and who I'm going to be working with. Maybe I can exert a little influence on Artie to put some things in the playbook that I like, because it's going to be an Aaron Rodgers offense. It's not going to be an Arthur Smith offense. Unless I'm waiting for something better to open up.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that spent time in the darkness retreat and, you know, vomited and crapped himself on purpose. He just needs probably to sit back and meditate and see what comes to him. I mean, it may sound crazy, but it's probably what it is, right?
I mean, I would hope that crapping yourself is not something you would not want to do on purpose, right? Like,
oh, I don't know if I'm going to take something to make me have explosive diarrhea.
I mean, we've all done it for a colonoscopy before.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm a big fan of the Pepto-Bismol. I think it's a very underrated product. But I use that more than I would.
Have you become one of those middle-aged men yet who carries a bottle of Pepto around like back in the 80s?
I do have like Pepto tablets in my in your car bag just in case I'm on the road and need it. I do.
That's fantastic. That's such a middle-aged man move.
And not only that, it makes your stomach feel better. I mean, Pepto is very underrated, very underrated.
Tony, our guy from Impact HVAC, also asked if we can get some We Are Fam Ali shirts made by Relax Styles in honor of Tony Fam.
Was the Tony one down on the PNC Park on Friday when I saw the old vehicle?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Tony. Hey,
Tony, are you at PNC Park on Friday about 3:30? I saw an Impact car, truck, van. Tony's
vehicle.
Honest.
Tony's busy actually probably doing work. Probably.
How's that furnace treating you?
It's great. It's awesome. It's been perfect the last couple days.
It was crazy this morning, so you need
it. Was. Brian Garrett, a.k.a. Pony's Burner. Yes, Tony said he was down there. In fact, he was at Mike. He was at the same place you were.
Well, I didn't see him. I went in and saw our buddy Mark at First and Goal.
Yesterday, out of South Hills Village.
Yeah, walked in and said, "Hey, how you doing? Got some nice stuff." And I like that. You know, I'm not a big hockey fan, but he had a nice couple of Mario Lemieux figurines. Were really nice.
Really?
One holding the cup. It was nice.
They have good stuff at First and Goal. They're also providing, by the way, that's an awesome segue by you, even though I know you didn't intend to do it.
Come on. I'm learning this business.
I'll give you credit for this one. Partial credit anyway. If you're one of the first 1,000 subscribers to Cabali and Mac on our YouTube page, and where are we? Are we in the nine?
We're pushing nine.
Right around 900 now? 890? Let's see. Hold on. I got to get it up to 887 last I checked. There we go.
Let me do my math to carry the one. 113 more, and somebody's going to get the Bettis.
Yep, and then we'll raffle off as long as you participated in the contest the way you were supposed to, which directions on both of our social media on how to do that. You may win an autographed Jerome Bettis jersey I have sitting right over here in the corner, all packed up and ready to go.
Really? Ready?
Yep.
You got it.
Tony dropped it off.
How many Tonys are there?
Just one. Tony Danilo's the only Tony. Hold on. I'm going to get it out of the box here. You ready?
Let's see. I think you should bring it over. I think I won.
It's packed away safely in the bag. Ooh. See, so it doesn't get nothing on it. And then Jerome Bettis, 36 right there.
You're going to have to go to Hobby Lobby and get one of those frames, whoever wins that.
We don't frame it for him, too.
I'm not saying us. I'm like, I said whoever wins it.
Yeah, man.
Hobby Lobby has those suckers. I got my TJ Watt one. Not mine, the kid.
Yeah.
The kid got one.
So that's the autographed Bettis jersey, that first and goal collectible.
Tell your friends, tell your neighbors to sign up so we can give this away and get on to the next one.
Yeah, and then who knows how big the next one may be. I don't know. We've done a Sidney Crosby autographed photo plaque. This will be the bus autographed Steelers jersey. Who knows what else?
I got a Super Bowl 43 seat cushion in my garage.
Wow. Would you autograph that for people?
Why not?
So you really think that this is as simple as Rodgers just sitting around trying to figure out if he wants to play football or not?
Yeah. Something has to speak to him. His deity.
Something has to speak to him.
His deity, you got to tell him.
He's waiting for a sign from God, like the friggin' Blues Brothers.
People think they have it figured out. He's going to go on the Pat McAfee Big Night At.
That is a strong theory that plenty of people have right now, including Justin on YouTube.
Everybody does.
Yeah, who think that it will happen at the Big Night Odd at PPG Paints Arena August 9th. How great would it be, though? Listen.
Yeah, what a pop, huh?
What a pop. What would it be like if all of a sudden, and look, WWE is producing Big Night Odd, so they know how all this works. What if Pat and the boys are just up there talking and Pat says, okay, another one of our special guests, and Omar Khan walks out, right? And then, everybody's
Fan of the show.
Fan of the show, and they're just having a chat with Omar, right? Pat and the boys having a chat with Omar in Pittsburgh, so it's perfect, right? And then all of a sudden, some music plays. I don't know. What would Aaron Rodgers' music be?
He does the old – he used to do the old belt thing, so come out with the Steelers – WWE belt.
Yeah, would we get like a glass break, like Stone Cold?
I don't know. We're going to have to come up with
it. And then all of a sudden, they pull the table out, and there's a contract signing right there on stage. Adam Pearce walks out with a contract.
It would be huge, but here's the thing. It would be great for the 20,000 people there, but then he would just take it across the rear end by you.
Why?
People, no, the fan, no, people in the national media saying, look at this guy.
No, what would happen? What would be the drawback of doing it that way? If the Steelers know and Rodgers know.
Come on. You don't think Stephen A. would go on and just tear him to shreds?
Aaron Rodgers thinks he's in WWE, signing a contract with Pat McAfee right there in Pittsburgh.
He probably calls it WWF. But
probably. I don't know what he thinks this is, Pat McAfee.
In my mailbag, somebody asked me, and I said, yeah, funny you should ask that. I was asked to pick him up at the airport and drive him to the arena.
Liar.
I did write that. I hope people don't take it seriously.
That's the problem when you put stuff in print like that. Someone will take it seriously.
I might have wrote, ha ha. Does that count?
I don't know if you did put a ha ha in there.
I did something.
Well, we'll get to the mailbag in just a second. But again, got to thank everybody who supports, including all of you viewers and listeners, Cabali and Mac. And that continues with Southwest Greens. It's Kaboom mentioned, really chilly out this morning, but it's spring. The spring is essentially here. It showed up a couple days ago. You know what spring in Western PA is like. Your backyard may be a mud pit. We have mud all over the house from our kid going in and out, playing on the back hillside, tracks the mud in. You don't have mud if you have Southwest Greens take care of your yard with a beautiful artificial surface that looks and feels like real grass and doesn't require any of the maintenance. No watering, no mowing, none of that crap. The kids can play on it. The dog can go on it. You can put it around the play set, the backyard for the kiddies to play. You can put a little putting area in one corner if you want. Practice your golf game. Do the whole yard. Just do a little bit, whatever it is. Go to southwestgreenspa.com and tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. And you want your yard to be the best looking one in the neighborhood, okay? Because they can make it happen. SouthwestGreensPA.com. You ready to dive into the mailbag?
Oh, Seth Rollins is on Good Morning Football.
He is today, tomorrow, and Wednesday.
Talking about Aaron Rodgers, which should be interesting.
Seth's a Bears fan, though, isn't he?
I would assume so because where did he grow up? Iowa?
Yeah, he grew up in Bears country, I think.
Yeah, everybody grows up there.
Piven? Well, yeah, Piven didn't grow up in Iowa, in like the northern suburbs of Chicago. Yeah.
Iowa is Chicago when it comes to football, when it comes to professional sports.
The NFL, yeah, absolutely.
Well, one more thing about Aaron Rodgers. This is what I want to get into.
Get it off your chest. Let it fly.
We hear a lot of people go down this path of this narrative of Aaron Rodgers throwing people under the bus, being a bad teammate, calling people out, and that's just definitely going to happen here whenever he gets here. Let me ask you a question. What instances are there of that? Mike Williams?
I mean, yeah, he did kind of take the 51C and ride over Mike Williams' back.
I reached out to a guy I know in Green Bay, and he said maybe Amari Rodgers one time about running the right routes. Well, there you go. I mean, why if all of a sudden we're assuming he's a bad teammate calling you people out? That's not – there's no history of that. There's just revisionist history of that. Where people look at it is – I mean, the majority of the stuff with Rodgers and why I think he's such a polarizing subject is the whole COVID, vax, anti-vax, Jimmy Kimmel battle type of stuff. I don't think it has to do with being a bad teammate because there's just not a ton of instances there.
No, I think that's definitely the main issue with a lot of people. And like I've said before, I don't care what my personal politics are or what yours are or anybody else's. If the guy can play quarterback, he can come in and play quarterback. But that's my issue. And I think my issue has been, and I've said this for a couple years now, he's not the dude he was at the end in Green Bay. Or maybe more accurately, that is the problem. He is that dude that he was the final year in Green Bay, which is just not as good as he was previous to that when we're talking about three MVPs in 4 years or whatever it was, when he was at the peak of his power but could still not get over the hump past the NFC Championship game. He was a great quarterback, but never has not been back to the Super Bowl since beating the Steelers 15 years ago. And I don't think is the kind of guy that takes them from being an 8 or 9 win team to an 11 win team. Like he's not that good anymore. I'd love to be proven wrong.
I'm at the point of what's the harm of giving him the shot like he gave Russell Wilson a shot last year. Okay, it's a 1 year deal. It's a 1 year instance of him being your quarterback. Let's see if it works. It might work. It might not. Worst comes to worst, you're 6-11 and you're drafting top 12, top 15. I just don't see any downfall in this. So if it implodes like people might think it is, so what? You get your top 10, 12 pick. If it doesn't implode, then you have a chance to win the AFC North.
I don't think there's a good chance it implodes. Like I don't think it's terrible and they go 5-12 like the Jets did a year ago. I just don't.
Jets are a mess.
Exactly. And as much as people will hate to hear this, the tone that Mike Tomlin sets in the building is one that won't allow things to go the same path that they went last year with Robert Saleh and the Jets. The tone that, as much as other people don't want to hear it, Art Rooney sets from the top on down won't allow that to become the atmosphere in the building. Art Rooney is not Woody Johnson. As much as some people may be frustrated and fed up with the way Art Rooney runs the team, including myself sometimes, he's a whole hell of a lot better than Woody Johnson as an owner. So, like, that kind of thing. I heard it verbalized well, I think, by, I can't remember who it was now, but somebody said it over the weekend. They said the best part of going to Pittsburgh for Aaron Rodgers, if he goes there, is the fact that he won't have to play GM. He won't have to play head coach. He won't have to do this, that, and the other thing. He can just walk in and be quarterback. And maybe that does breathe some new life into him and his abilities. He still can't move like he used to.
Well, but he's now will be 2 years removed from an Achilles surgery.
And that's something we brought up too, which could be
ends to take a while to get. I mean, especially if you're 41.
Right. You would Trust know. It's taken you a while to get back to your athletic.
I still can't get out of the pocket at all. So, yeah.
But look, my issue is not with Rodgers the person or Rodgers the political statement or any of that crap. I don't care either way. I know people do, but that's the problem, is they're attaching their dislike of Rodgers the person to their dislike of Rodgers the quarterback. I'm looking at it much more just strictly on face value of Rodgers the quarterback. I'm sorry. Rodgers the quarterback, I don't think is going to be that much better than Russ the quarterback was a year ago. I just don't. And so I don't think he's going to be much better than late stage Ben Roethlisberger his final year. And maybe people are okay with that for a year because, you know, what the hell? Why not? You may, like you said, catch lightning in a bottle, but I'm not counting on that happening. I'm not attaching any of that other crap. Like you point out, I don't think there's a ton of evidence for him as a bad teammate. I don't think there's a ton of evidence for him. You know, people take, for example, like the sideline shove of Robert Saleh last year, and they tend to blow it up, right? Like, I don't think Rodgers is a bad teammate. I don't. I just don't think he's a great quarterback anymore, and I certainly wouldn't sit around and wait for him all the way out through the draft and into OTAs to see if he's interested in coming.
You'd rather bring Flacco in and just say, Mason Flacco.
No, if I were Omar, I would say, listen, Aaron, we appreciate you coming, spending all the time with us. We need to know by, pick a date, say 2 weeks before the draft, right? We need to know by April 10th. And if we don't know by April 10th, then I'm sorry, we're going to have to pivot in a different direction. And then I call Russ and say, hey, Russ, I know you're still looking for a gig. We like a lot of what you brought to the table last year. There's some things we'd like to work on, but would you come back into the fold? And then I just get it done so I know who my quarterback's going to be.
They don't even gather until March, May. So what's the difference if they sign the deal tomorrow?
Oh, I know what my plan is going into the draft.
Okay, let's say that it's done by April 27th. I don't even know when the draft is.
The draft is April 24th. Thank you for paying attention to the fact
you
that
would be, you,
one
you
month
would be
earlier.
You would be fine with it if it was April 23rd. That's great.
Yeah.
But if it's April 24th.
Well, April 24th is the first round of the draft. I would hope they are focused on what they're going to be doing in the first round of the draft on the day of the first round of the draft and not worried about whether, like, this does have a ripple effect. Like, I don't know if they were going to draft anybody from Michigan. Like, there's talk about maybe what, the one kid, the corner from Michigan, sliding down in the first round. But they didn't go to Michigan's pro day because everybody wanted to be in the house for Aaron's visit. And that's fine. I get it. It's a pro day. You could scout players other ways. You could bring them in for top 30 visits if you're really interested, all that stuff. But, like, it has a ripple effect on the rest of the organization. Like, Cam has to go on about explaining himself every 15 minutes about how he's not going to sit there and recruit somebody at a darkness retreat. Like, I wouldn't either, but. I don't blame Cam for what he said. Like, that's fine. He's just saying, hey, you want to be a Steeler? That's the recruiting pitch. I'm not up in arms about it like some people are. But the point is, it's become the entire focus of the offseason to this point is Aaron. It's great for us.
I would think
for an organization that wants to put its head down and focus on getting better because they still believe they're this close, put your head down and get better.
I still think that they were aware of this. When was it? 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. They were aware that this was going to take some time, and they were willing to do it.
It would drive me nuts being a GM or a head coach and having made the pitch, had the meeting, known that there's not really any other options out there for the player, and the player basically telling me, I don't know, I'll let you know. Be like, yo, I get it. You're a future Hall of Famer, but, like, we have an organization to run.
Yeah, I still say that if you're going to moan, bitch, and complain about something in this whole instance, it should be the organization. They're the one that could say bye at any point.
Exactly.
And they decided not to.
And they've handed the keys to their offseason basically over to Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's some shaky decision-making, in my opinion. If the guy ends up coming in, winning 12 games, and they go to the AFC Championship, people like me will look like dummies for bitching about it because he waited a few extra weeks. But I still think for a team that should be in the midst of figuring things out this offseason rather than sitting around waiting, it's a bit of an odd look.
To me, if you're worried about some, if somebody else is out there and you decide not to pull the trigger because you want to see what he is going to do, I think that's an argument. But as we mentioned a number of times, there's nobody else out there. So considering that there's nobody else out there, I have no problem to wait. I mean, of course, there has to be a drop dead date.
Right.
But I don't think it's anytime soon.
Why do you think they soured so quickly on Russ? Was it just the last five games? Is there really something to the Artie Smith, Russell Wilson conflict?
There must be. Russell did not play as bad as people think at the end of the season to say, okay, forget it. There's no way this guy's going to be successful. So, of course, some other stuff had to happen. Now, there's no way they're moving on from Artie Smith. So what's your choice? Move on from the coordinator that you still owe two more years to, or the quarterback that you owe nothing to, who's 30, soon to be 37. So if I was a guessing man, I would say it has something to do with the coordinator. I'm not saying he said get rid of him or I'm done, but he won the battle, so to speak. They realized that those two aren't maybe best for business working together, so let's move on.
But that's what kind of makes the whole Aaron Rodgers thing crazy to me, is that you're going from 36, 37-year-old quarterback who may not have – and I thought Russ kind of fit Arthur Smith's system fairly well. I mean, he fit himself into it for 7 weeks at a pretty good pace. But, like, Aaron Rodgers definitely doesn't fit into an Arthur Smith offense and is older and maybe a little bit more difficult to work with at times than Russ. Russ was like the consummate professional. Rodgers, like you said earlier, he's going to tell you if he doesn't like the way, you know, a play was called, a route was run. He's going to be that guy. And so you're basically saying that Rodgers is that much better than Russ, even with all the extra baggage, if you want to call it that, like not fitting into the offense as well as Russ, being a little bit more difficult in what he wants at times. All of that is Rodgers that much better than Russ? That tells me that something really went down.
He's different. Russ. You already tried the other route, and you come to the conclusion that it didn't work. So let's take a different route. So that's the way I look at it. It's just something different. You want them to change, here's your change. Just don't go with the status. If the Aaron Rodgers was never mentioned and it was always, okay, we're going to bring back Russell Wilson, the majority of people out there would be moaning, bitching, complaining that they would go back to Russell Wilson, who stunk last year, which they thought. I think we just like to moan and bitch and complain. So I still don't have any problem with Aaron Rodgers coming here, wasting his time. And if worse comes to worse, I think Mason Rudolph's a good fallback plan. And
what do you got? This sounded like a diving board over there. What do you got going on?
I don't know.
What we need to get. I think you texted me all worried about how your audio sounds over the weekend.
Here's the thing. I'm.
Do you need a microphone? Is that
I'm putting together eventually my home office.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get it all rolled up and what I need. I'm going to get some.
You can get a nice fancy microphone.
We'll get some really bad penguin posters.
Shut up.
Of like Wendell Young laying on the ground.
This one is not bad. This one up here, which you can't really
see, it's so great.
Is Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin holding the
Stanley Cup? What is the one above the light switch?
This one?
Beer?
No, this is the Lion's Den, my favorite bar in State College.
Oh, wow. And they speak highly of you, too.
Yeah, you can talk shit on Penn State, guys? Come on.
I used to go to Penn State when my buddy was there to drink sometime. What was that crappy place where you went down in the basement Rathskeller. And they gave you, like, little ponies?
Rathskeller, yeah.
That's still around?
No, closed, I want to say, a couple years before the pandemic. I want to say, like, 18 or 19. But yeah, that place was okay. The Skeller was all right, but the Lion's Den, I love the Lions, and the Lion's Den is still there, actually.
You guys are just crazy Penn State people.
I know a crazy Penn State person.
The Lion's Den, 79 Steelers, what is that, 90 Penguins?
Okay, we got Super Bowl 40 up there, right? That one, that fancy one up there.
What was that?
Don't tell anyone, but that may have disappeared from the offices of 1250 ESPN when the station was pulled off the air and we all got laid off. That is an old school Penguins 1991 championship.
I think everybody has that poster.
It's a classic. I've had it since I was a kid, which is why it looks the way it does. It used to be in a fancy frame, but the frame broke one time when I was moving. And then up on the door, bang, that one was gifted to me by my brother-in-law a while back. An old 1979 Pittsburgh Steelers poster that he found.
Big spender there.
Well, you know, it's all of them are sentimental. 79 is the year I was born. 91 is the first professional championship for any Pittsburgh team that I got to see, that I got to witness. And Super Bowl 40, the first Steelers Super Bowl win of our generation. So.
And Lion's Den, your favorite bar.
Lion's Den, my favorite bar. And this one, again, which you can't see, which is just out of frame, is the 2016 Stanley Cup champions.
Brian Garrett's on it. I went to a I don't even know what it is. It's like a comic book store somewhere in Dormont-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have all, like, that's where the kid got some of his wrestlers. It's like $2 each. Wouldn't you know I saw a Mr. Miyagi. No, a Daniel LaRusso figure. But it was still in the box, and it was like $60. I'm like, I ain't going there. I do got a Karate Kid poster, but
see, when you get the office done, in addition to getting a nice microphone like this one, you need to get like all the stuff that speaks to you up on the wall behind you, like I have. Karate Kid poster.
Problem is, there's a problem with this.
What?
The wife's trying to take over the decorations because. She doesn't believe in my taste.
Well,
I want to get these. You remember old school football pennants?
Yes.
I was like, I'm getting these and putting them on. No, you got to put it in the frame and make it look like no.
No.
Wrap them up on the wall.
Tell her about the crap I have just thrown up on the wall, right?
I'm telling you, it's like if it was up to me, the stuff that I could have up there. Whew.
You know what I saw on – somebody posted it on Instagram or Twitter this morning. It said, I am this many years old. And it was the old mirrors. Remember the little square mirrors you could get at the church carnival? Like, they were for different bands. There'd be, like, a Def Leppard one, Motley Crue one, Metallica.
Is that after playing Chuck-a-Luck?
Yeah. Oh, those things, man. When I was a little kid, I had older cousins who – we just had a room covered in that kind of crap. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Like the peak for me at like 10, 11 years old was like, if I could win a Def Leppard mirror at a church carnival, I was God.
Yeah. We used to have like band pins and you could pin them to your hat all over the place.
Yeah. I didn't do that.
So I have like Iron Maiden and Def Leppard, Iron Maiden, Poison.
666, the number of the beast.
Two minutes to midnight, baby.
We were supposed to go through the mailbag. Let's go through the mailbag. But first, since we mentioned him earlier, we should say hello and thank the wonderful people, including Tony, at Impact HVAC. If your furnace goes kaput like mine did last week, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They will get you all hooked up. They came out here just a couple days later. We went one night, I think, without heat, and it was one of those days where it wasn't too cold, so it wasn't bad at all. Get on out to make sure everything is checked out for the spring. You want your AC tuned up before it gets warm out. Impact HVAC PGH, find them on Facebook. They will take care of you, and thanks to them for supporting Kabali and Mac. So, which of these Which of these questions kaput. In your mailbag?
Kaput. Let me tell you something about Kaput real quick.
Yeah.
At St. Vincent College, when a thunderstorm comes rolling in, they start blaring like a buzzer. Have you ever watched Saving Private Ryan?
Yes.
And
it sounds like
the Germans are on the speaker saying, "The Statue of Liberty is kaput." So every time it plays up at St. Vincent College, I look at Pursuit and say, "The Statue of Liberty is kaput."
That's kaput makes you think of Saving Private Ryan and the Germans. Pursuit. Okay. Yeah. It all rolls up into one. It's perfect.
All right.
So I'm going to skip through the Aaron Rodgers questions because I feel like we've
spent. There were 30 of them, but I only used like one of them.
Yeah, we've gone through.
There's a lot of fire Mike Tomlin still in there that I didn't use.
Seriously?
Oh, there had to be about 20 of them.
Oh, that's not a question, though. It's a mailbag. People are supposed to ask questions.
Why hasn't Mike Tomlin been held accountable?
I mean, because he's got, I think I saw you write it. It's, I think it's appropriately true. Basically a lifetime contract to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers as long as Mike Tomlin wants to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Exactly. And it will not change any sooner than Mike Tomlin decides he doesn't want to be head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Short of going 0-17 like 3 years in a row.
And something else, like, you know, maybe he gets arrested for speeding or something.
Yeah, something stupid. That nobody has any control over. Yeah. So our guy who we mentioned earlier, Styles, Relax Styles, asked you about the timeline for the Steelers building their own facility. I feel like we've talked about that a lot over the last couple of weeks, and you've made a good point.
There was a bunch of them in there. I was surprised of how many free agents won't come here because of the facilities. Maybe I was off based off of the Najee quote.
Do you think Rodgers paid attention at all to where the sauna is when he was touring the facility?
Somebody was probably taking a crap.
Is that back behind a shitter? That's where I got to go to the sauna?
He was in Green Bay for 15, 18 years. And before they, I don't even know when they redid that. They probably redid that in 05. Like 15
years ago? 20?
So he might not have been a part of the old crappy one. I don't think locker room has any, or facilities has anything to do with free agents. Like I said, number one is money. And number two is chance to win. I mean, maybe third down on the list is how's the weight room, but
it's a tiebreaker. Like if you're between two teams and they both offer you the same amount of money and the same chance to win, and one has a crap facility and one is a palace like the Chargers, then maybe you choose the nicer facility, right?
It's like, yeah, you know, it just they're offering me $25 million. They're offering me a starting position. We have a chance to win. But man, did you see that indoor facility? That turf's no good, man. Or man, that they don't have family rooms at Acrisure Stadium. I mean, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Well, at least not in Rodgers' case, especially because he doesn't have kids coming to the game. This is an interesting question from the Prof722 on Twitter. If the Steelers bring in Rodgers, wouldn't a top running back, Genty, Amarian Hampton especially, be in position to be targeted in round one because that could add the most value as a rookie? I don't see – I mean, could you see them – like if Genty fell that far, okay, that's a different story. But Hampton at 21 seems like a bit of an overdraft. If somebody's sitting there late second round and you want to trade back to that spot from, you know, mid third round where they're at, okay. But spending more than a second round pick on a running back seems like a lot.
I would not anticipate them trading back out of the first round. Maybe they go 20 to 25 or something. Maybe that's more of a possibility. I know it's dying not having a second round pick, especially in this draft, but I don't know if there's anything you can really do to get back in there without giving up too much. I can see a running back in the first round. I mean,
really?
I can definitely see that. I mean, you have two guys. You got Warren, who both of them are on 1 year deals. One has 85 career touches. Running attempts is his most for a single season. And Jalen Warren, the one time he got the ball a lot, he got injured twice last year. you can't count on those guys to be a long-term future. Okay, you can get one in the third or fourth round. I always love that. I mean, yeah, sure you can. You know what else you can get? You can get wait till the seventh round and get Brock Purdy. But how many times does that really happen? It's really hard to do. Well, it's kind of out there, but it doesn't. You still have to pick the right one.
Quarterbacks, it's obviously much harder to do. I think running backs. I'm not saying it's easy that like you're going to pluck a running back in the fourth round and you can guarantee they're going to become an NFL starter in the next year or two. But I would think it's easier than finding a quarterback at that spot who's going to become a starter.
Maybe as the Hawk Jeff Hathorn said, maybe they're waiting to swoop down on Nick Chubb here. And
that would be fantastic. Why has he not signed anywhere yet?
Probably after the draft. Those are guys probably waiting. You wait till after the draft to fill out your roster, and he might be a guy that you target if you don't get somebody in the draft.
That's another guy. How far removed from that injury when Minka folded him up is he?
What was that, last October?
Is it 2 years ago?
October will be 2 years. So what are we
So at? There's another guy.
A year and a half.
Second year following a major injury who maybe we get a bounce back from. I know he's older for a running back now, but I just love the way he runs.
Yeah, I mean, once again, what would it hurt if you bring him on, you know, give him a two-year deal, whatever. Maybe you lose a little bit of guarantee or dead money if he doesn't turn out to be roster worthy.
So this is why I wouldn't go with a running back in the first round. Again, unless Genty fell to all the way down to 21, because this is a very deep defensive line draft, right? Everybody keeps saying that. The problem is you don't have a second round pick. It would have worked out. Like if you wanted to go wide receiver in the first round, D line in the second round, it would have worked out before you traded for DK Metcalf. And I have no problem with the Metcalf trade and what they gave up, but they essentially spent their second round pick on a wide receiver in trading for DK Metcalf. I'm totally cool with that. But that kind of locks you into having to take defensive line in the first round, in my opinion.
Unless there's nobody there.
Especially because you didn't sign anybody. And I mean, you signed the dude from New England and you brought Isaiah Loudermilk back, I think. Like, no disrespect to either one of those guys, but they're not going to replace Cam Hayward.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's a glaring – It might work out well, but you just don't know right now. I mean, they maybe go by committee with some of those guys, but I mean, there's nobody there that you're like, okay, he's going to be taking that next step from Leod or Loudermilk to, I don't even know, I don't think Montrevious Adams is even on the roster, is he anymore? I don't think, no. I see, there are some defensive linemen out there that you could add, but there's nobody who's game-changing difference makers.
They have already like what feels like 27 defensive linemen on the roster.
Yeah.
One is Cam Hayward. The other is Keanu Benton. And then everybody else is just a dude. Like, again, no disrespect to those guys, but they're not going to do anything to replace Cam in a year or two or actually start alongside Cam and Benton.
It makes sense if you get a guy like Grant. Because he's a big monster. He can play the middle, but can also be fast enough or quick enough to bounce outside.
From Michigan?
Yeah.
Is he getting to 2021, though? Yeah.
Somebody has to get there.
Justin says draft Derek Harmon from Oregon in the first round. We talked about him last week.
Dylan Gabriel.
God, what is he, like 5'6"? He's shorter than me.
So?
Tiny hands. We've gone through all that before. No thanks.
Scataboo. I'm liking Scataboo.
You like? Yeah, Ryan suggested that on Twitter. If Scataboo's around in the third round, would you jump on that? I really that dude's a baller. I mean, you want a guy who's going to just run through brick walls?
He almost reminds me of a James Conner to a degree. Where a guy just won't be denied, can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that we all thought he was done when he left here, and he's proven them right. You know how people, you always say, well, Steelers are always pretty good at getting rid of the guy just before he falls off the cliff.
Yep.
Well, they were wrong with James Conner.
Yeah, they were. I mean, you get rid of guys, sometimes they go to other places and they figure things out. Speaking of the wide receiver position, which we were when we brought up Metcalf and where you're going to draft guys in the first couple of days, Kevin Pot, or Pot Kevin, I guess, on Twitter asked, Kevin's Chili Pot is his official handle on Twitter, so we know he's a serious guy. Will Roman Wilson be visible at all this season? Or does Arthur Smith want to run the power eye? If Roman Wilson actually, what round did they draft him in? Was it the third?
It was either.
Or was it late?
Early third or late second. It's hard to.
Yeah. So, like, there's a guy that if he pays off, then, okay, I got no problem with a wide receiver room that's Metcalf, Pickens, Austin, Roman Wilson. Like, that's a decent wide receiver room with guys like Skoranek and Miller wandering around as well. That I'm okay with. But they showed no reason to fold him into things late last year.
I'm just looking at Brian Garrett. I'm kind of offended by the being number two seed.
What? Oh, the old Pittsburgh media. I'm not even a seed. I didn't even make the tournament.
Well, I take on Austin Bechtold in the first round.
Right.
So I mean, nobody has a chance to win that because Bob Pump got that locked down. He's like UCLA in the 70s.
Does anybody pay? Do people pay that much attention to that? Like the first year, I thought it was not a
novel. Yogi's absolutely obsessed with it.
Really?
I'm never going to be able to beat Colby Armstrong. This is unfair. Something like that.
Why does it matter?
I liked it better when it was like most hated media members and Rossi won on in a landslide.
A landslide?
Landslide. You see, Austin Bechtel gets in there, but you don't. That's pretty embarrassing.
I don't care.
But were you on the bracket of?
I have no idea.
Shaboozy fans?
Shaboozy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
I'm not gonna cry
myself to sleep at night because I'm not on Joey Bag of Donuts Pittsburgh sports media bracket. Like, I think I'm gonna be okay.
Joey Bag of Donuts.
One more question from the mailbag, and then we'll
wrap. Roman Wilson, you were talking about right
before. Yeah, and you had no kind of answer for that. So
I said Roman Wilson has the opportunity. I saw him practice a lot last year after he got injured, and he showed something to me fast, quick. I mean, obviously it was something to do of getting on that moving train that derailed him, but he has to be looked at as a guy that can contribute this year if he stays healthy.
Total waste of draft pick if they don't get him more involved, just like the Mike Williams trade was a total waste because they never got him more involved. Like, I don't understand this concept of bringing guys in and then they show a little bit of promise as Mike Williams did. Roman Wilson, obviously you thought something of him. Otherwise you wouldn't have drafted him where he did. And then they just vanish, disappear. Vanish like a fart in the wind.
I watched that last night. It was on like at midnight.
Shawshank reference for the kids. Go look it up.
Yeah, maybe Aaron Rodgers is right. Maybe Mike Williams needs to run, what, the red line or is it the blue line? I don't even know what the hell he called it.
No more silver line. The T from library won't be a thing anymore, I heard.
No idea what that means.
The T. You've never been on the T.
Never been on the T. Never rode a public bus.
Never?
Old school, we'd grab the old Huffy bike and just ride down the street and go to Open Pantry or something like that. I didn't need a damn.
I ain't need no public transportation. I'm better than that.
On public transportation.
All right. If people want the rest of your questions, and there are some decent ones and really good answers about Broderick Jones, about off-ball linebackers and who's going to play more than others that spot. And then Jay Uso Gunther question at the end, they can go check it out. Ooh, on your
Twitter. That should be coming on at 4 o'clock today, right?
Oh, that's right. Raw's early again. Cause they're over in freaking Europe. I can't adjust to that, man. I'm sorry.
Open Pantry. How can you forget about Open Pantry?
You with the diving board on your desk. I don't know what's every time you
smack in the table. You know, I'm in the draft room banging the table for somebody.
Yeah.
I'm banging a table for Open Pantry.
Okay. Real quick.
You've been saying that 4 times in a row now, real quick.
Real quick, because I try to get to questions before I lose your attention span.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, I know. Are you excited about Paul Skeens this year, Kaboom?
I'm excited what he said.
Yeah, he's pissed.
He Dejan Kovacevic's old website guy.
No, Jesus Christ. Could you do a better job of giving people credit for who they are and what they do? Names. Alex Stumpf, who writes for MLB.com. And he also said the same thing the very next day to our buddy Kevin Gorman from the trip.
I didn't know Gorman said that.
So who gets the best answers out of Paul Skeens at the end of spring training? Two Baldwin guys. We win, win, win. Suck it.
Gorman's like North Baldwin, isn't he?
So Stumpf. All the best people come from North Baldwin.
Well, the point is golf clap to Paul Skeens. Let's see him put some pressure on these jamokes, because you know what? No matter what you say, 100% of the fan base agree with you and not the organization.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a wildly competitive pitcher, a baseball player. I mean, that's what he wants to do, is win. Like, that's what every player wants to do, I think. But, like, I mean, of course he's going to say that. I'm not taking anything away from it. Like, I'm not saying he, you know, it's not special. It's great that he stood up and said that. And basically what he said, hold on, I want to find the exact quote.
Keep the pressure on.
I'm tired of hearing about the freaking wild card game. I'll say that.
Me too. Good job.
Such a low bar to set. I get it. People are jumping off the bridge and into the river and all that for a wild card game. That's the last time we had a taste of it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I want people to be jumping off all the bridges, not just the Clemente Bridge. And he expounded on that to Stump, basically saying, you know, I want to win a championship here. That's great.
Well, he might have to go to the LA Dodgers in about 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't think no title's coming here.
Not unless they drastically change how they do business.
You mean, like, actually spend a couple bucks and not put the catcher at first base a day before they break camp or break spring training?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't have anything else to say. I can only emotionally invest so much in an organization that doesn't want to invest in their fans. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just remember a couple years ago where, I mean, I hate to say apologists or whatever, the Steelers Pirates fans were selling why they took Hank Davis in the first round. So, you know, the old slotted money, they can go and add more people and blah, 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 blah. No, that you went the cheap route, and now this guy is an ultimate bust at 1-1. The guy doesn't – they don't even think, or he's not even capable of throwing him at first base. Instead, you're putting the backup catcher at first base. Or the – and what was that – what was that award Triolo won? Like role player of the year or utility player?
He won a gold glove.
You can't put as a utility player. No, yeah. He didn't. That's just made up.
No, they added an extra gold glove for guys that play multiple positions.
You're not good enough to play first, second, third, or any of the outfield, so you're like the 10th man.
Look, aside from that, like
– Hank Davis, ultimate bust, which is a shame. Put him at first. Yeah. Let him try to shoot him.
And they should have drafted Jack Leiter, who's going to be a stud for the Rangers this year. Yeah, I can't argue with it. I can't.
They tried to go on the cheap, and that's what happens.
Well, they tried to spread out the signing bonus. They were trying to know
he was going to sign for less, and that's bottom line.
And I will say this. In the second round that year, they got Solometo, who I think – where is he ranked now? In their prospect pool. But, I mean, you don't pass up on a Jack Leiter. The same way there was no way they could pass up on a Paul Skeens. Like, you get that opportunity. You take the best player available regardless of how much you're going
to have. Did Leiter not want to come here? Was there something about that or no?
Leiter?
I thought there was some kind of talk that he didn't want to come here for some reason. Maybe I'm misremembering.
There's been lots of guys over the years. I mean, there was the guy from Stanford, Appel, who they drafted years ago, who didn't sign. And went back in.
They did a documentary on him and how his career went after that.
On Mark Appel?
Yeah, because he like waited a couple years and he was trolling around in the minor leagues. And thank God.
The Astros still? Or is he done?
I don't know if he's still in the league. That's been a while.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up right now. No, he's with the Phillies. No, he played with the Phillies. He's not anywhere now. Yeah. He's done.
It's been a while.
That's wild. He was drafted. When was he drafted?
05. I'm just totally guessing here.
No, 2012, I think.
That late?
Yeah. Yeah. 2012.
Go start on Thursday, baby. They'll sweep Miami, and everybody will say this is the year.
No, we'll just, I'm only allowing myself to get excited about the young pitching. That's it. I'm sorry. I'll watch them. I'll be, hey, when Skeen starts, I'll be tuned in to every pitch. And then when some of the other guys go, okay, hey, I'll keep an eye on it. But like I said, I can only invest so much emotionally on a team that doesn't want to invest in me as a fan.
Plus, they're going to eventually crap the bed. It might not be in April. It might not be in May. But it will happen. Hmm. And then you'll be like, I'll never let this happen again to me. And then next year, here we do it again. Just expect very little and be surprised if they do something well. I reserve the right to be critical of them, but I'll be the first one to jump on their bandwagon.
And that's okay. That's the way we have to approach them. That's the way we have to approach them, to be honest. Like, that's the way it is. Do you want to slam the desk one more time, Justin?
Paul Skeen should.
There it is.
He should get the. He should make some kind of clause in his contract where he gets part of the gate when he pitches at home.
That'd be a great idea. If he could work that out. That's a hell of an idea. You should be Skeen's agent.
I think he got a good enough one.
Probably. All right. Let's wrap it up for today. We'll be back on Wednesday. Special guest on Wednesday.
Special guest. Was thinking outside the box. No Jeremy Piven, but a guy as talented.
Oh, crazy talented. I mean, the stuff he does, I have a hard time believing he's actually able to do it, but he documents all of it. It's wild.
Very sports related. I mean, I think he has a very good story of, you know, back during the COVID years and how, what kept him going. So we'll talk to him about it.
Special guest on Wednesday. You'll have to tune back in to find out who it is. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. If you're one of the first 1,000 and you repost the contest posts that Kaboom and I have both put up, you'll have a chance to win that autographed Jerome Bettis jersey. Tomorrow on social media, it'll be a Ticket Tuesday. We'll give away another raffle ticket to the Whitehall Fire Company raffle for that Ford F-150 that Kaboom.
I didn't even know we're doing it tomorrow. We're doing it tomorrow?
I think we should do it every Tuesday. How's that sound? Not the show. I'm saying the ticket giveaway.
What's our show this week?
Wednesday, since we have a special guest. And then maybe another one on Friday. And we always reserve the right to go live for an emergency pod.
I will be in West Palm Beach Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Michael Petaway Tomlin will be talking on Sunday.
Ooh, that's big for next Monday. We'll have a lot to get into after you're done at the coach's breakfast. That'll be fun.
The breakfast is pretty lame, but yeah.
And next Wednesday, we were going to have another massive special guest, but Kibale screwed that up because he's going to be on a plane and we can't do a show that day. So don't worry, that massive mystery special guest will join us the following Wednesday.
I heard he's a legend too. Put it this way, he has his own shirt at Giant Eagle. That's all I'm going to say.
Way too many clues.
I went to Giant Eagle the other day, and they might have 15 different.
Okay.
Oops, I should have said that.
Jesus.
Dangerous.
It's not Russ. I'll tell you that much. It's not Russ.
I don't even know.
All right, let's wrap it up for today. Tell everybody goodbye, Kaboom.
Steve Byrne.
I'm vanished. No, Steve Byrne, he's a comedian. He's hilarious. Hey, he's not our special guest on Wednesday. Someone else.
You blew it, Brian Garrett Pony.
Up and vanished like a fart in the wind.